Good morning. My name's Pastor Kyle. For those who don't know me, one of the things Amy and I used to like to do, we've tried to cut down on, but that we enjoy is when the kids go to bed, putting on a show that we can binge on Netflix. And one of those shows is a show called The Crown. Have you ever seen The Crown? Some of you'd appreciate this if you're into history and into drama. The Crown is a drama series that follows the life of Queen Elizabeth II. And I particularly enjoyed in this one episode where the queen decides she needs to travel out of country. And as she does that, she has to decide, okay, who's going to be my representative? There's a number of engagements I have to take part of, or we as the crown have to take a part of this. And so she looks to her sister, Princess Margaret, and says, okay, you're going to be my representative at these functions, and the prime minister will sort of fill you in. And she goes and travels off. And Princess Margaret, who's pictured here, gets this great idea that she's going to spice up the monarchy a little bit at this moment. She's been a little bit frustrated by her sister, the queen, who's a little bland in her mind, maybe doesn't take the opportunity to speak out like she should. And so she gets to go to these royal engagements and she starts to crack some jokes with the press. She takes the liberty to take some shots at some of the dignitaries who she thinks they as a country should have some issues with. And as you can imagine, this doesn't all go over super well. And so after one of these events, the princess is sitting there at the palace and the prime minister, Winston Churchill, walks in and he has a bit of a bone to pick with the princess because what she has done has created a bit of a blemish, an embarrassment for their country. And so he actually comes to relieve her of her duties as the representative for the queen. And if you watch it, it's this great interaction, but I'll just summarize it a little bit for you. But Churchill basically walks in and he says, well, Your Royal Highness, I want you to know that didn't go super well, but when you appear in public performing your royal duties, did you know you're not you? And she sits there and she goes, well, no, I was being me. That was the whole point. My sister isn't who I think she should be or who the crown should be. I was being me. And she's not picking up on what Churchill is putting down here. And so he just puts it plainly and says, the crown, that's what they're here to see, not you. And it ends on this really tense moment because Princess Margaret, in the moment of trying to be herself and do what she thought should be done, totally forgot about her role in those engagements, which was to be a representative of the queen. She was there to be her sister's ambassador, and so it came with disastrous effects when she wasn't. So this morning, I'm hoping likewise that we come to this place where we come to an understanding of who we are and who we represent and how we should be representatives, how we should be ambassadors of the king that we serve. And of course, right now we're going through this series, Grow Deeper, and we're talking about what does it look like to grow as followers of Jesus, of taking on our identities and becoming more and more like him, and how we can grow to experience him more, and what ways we can enact that. And so one of the things that we need to have a firm foundation on is our mission and who we are, what our role is within it. And so in order to do this morning, I thought we'd head to one of my favorite passages of Scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you got a Bible, feel free to take it out and turn there. That's where we're going to camp for most of this morning's message. If you don't have a Bible, there's tables at each of the three doors, and you're welcome to grab one. And it's our gift to you if you don't have one at home, or just to follow along this morning. But here we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. So as we've been talking over the last number of weeks, whether on our Sunday morning or in our community groups, we've talked about these different aspects of the life of a Christian. We've talked about gathering for worship, of joining in community. We've talked about being a part of the body of the church and serving it. And these are all wonderful things, but there's another thing that is critical to our being followers of Jesus, and that's engaging in the mission that he's called us to, in delivering the message of his reconciliation. And so I think that if we're going to become more like Jesus, we should definitely do what he calls us to do. And so scripture here, it gives us this picture of our mission and what our role is in it. Our mission is to be ambassadors of God who bring his message of reconciliation. And that's our role as well. We're those ambassadors. And so some of us might ask ourselves, well, how did I suddenly become a representative of God? Like, how did I become Jesus' representative? I didn't necessarily sign up for this. But you became God's ambassador as soon as he started to do a work in your life. When we start to follow Jesus, it's not because of anything that you have done, but what he has started to do in you. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, it says right here that Jesus starts to get to work. God starts to work on our lives, and he starts to take out the old, and he makes us new. And so what he does, in a sense, is he takes away some of our identity and who we are, and he starts to build his identity into us. Now, when some of us hear that, it makes us perhaps a little annoyed, perhaps a little uncomfortable. We think, well, that's quite awful to think that some of who I am is being taken from me and something else is being put into me. But I got to tell you, it's anything but awful. It's anything but awful, because what Jesus does here is incredible. And what he asks for it is even better. We all know that if we're followers of Jesus that before we knew Jesus, we were like a train on a track heading in a certain direction. We know that our identity and our desires and the things that we do are all set on a path that leads us towards brokenness and destruction. We know that this is a path that takes us away from a God who loves us and separates us from him. And no matter how hard we try, whether it's trying to be a good person by doing the right things or giving money to the right causes or helping those people in our community, there's nothing that we can do that takes us off this track, no matter how much we even are aware of what is at the end. And so perhaps we start to push back and forth, and like a train on a track, we can't go anywhere because those rails hold us still. But God, not satisfied with us, comes as his incarnation. He comes as God in the flesh, as the person of Jesus, and says, here I am, I'm going to suddenly bridge the gap from track to track. I'm going to take this train that is on this track, and I'm going to give it an off-ramp to get on the track that's going to lead it to where it needs to be. And so Jesus came, and like this scripture says, he became our sin. He paid the penalty that comes from the track that we're on so that we do not have to. And as he does that work in our life, as we put our faith and trust into him, he takes us off one track and he puts us on another. But this other track, these other rails are a different dimension. And so he has to do a work in us to allow us to start to conform to the new path he puts us on. And this path is so much better. This track leads us towards him, towards his righteousness, towards what is right in his eyes. And it takes us to a destination now where we experience his love and life rather than brokenness, death, and separation. And this is incredible because it really has nothing to do with us. In verse 18, it says, "This is all from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." There's no part of this process that is dependent on me. I didn't have to do the right thing. I didn't have to say the right words. I didn't have to ever start by being a good person before Jesus goes, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to bridge the tracks." He does it all because it's his prerogative. It's his character. It's because of his love for you and for me that he bridges the gap. And as he does that, he takes us and he starts to change us. And as we begin to be changed, we begin to show what work has been done. And that's what an ambassador is. It's somebody who reveals or represents something about someone else. And because God has started to do this work in our life and started to make changes to us and has taken us from one place to another, we become his ambassadors because we begin to represent the work that he has done. And as he does that, and as we become that, we become the representatives of his message. And his message is a message of reconciliation. Our job, in essence, then, is we get to share the incredible news of what he's done in our lives with other people. That's our job. It tells us here, the Apostle Paul gives us this whole picture of what God has done for us, and this becomes our message. And we get to do this. You know, sometimes I think we miss out on those couple words. We get to do this. When God intervened in the track that we were on, he didn't do it as a transaction. He didn't go, "You know what, I'm going to start a transactional relationship with you where I'm going to do something for you and you get to pay me back. All right, so now that I've done some work in your life, you get to go out and now you got to earn off that debt that you now owe me." No, there's no indication of that here. What God did was not transactional. It was relational. He said, "There's nothing you could ever do that could ever pay me back. You could never earn your way out of my debt. But guess what? I don't want you to anyways. This is what I wanted to do, and so I did it because I love you." But while he has no requirement in that sense that we pay him back, he does invite us then to show his work. We get to become his representatives and show who he is. And as we'll see in a few moments, he actually invites us in on the work that he is doing, and he actually calls us his co-worker. He allows us to take part. So what is this ambassador? Well, as I've already mentioned, it's someone who represents someone or something. Princess Margaret, in the case of Queen Elizabeth, was sent to represent the crown. She was sent to be a figure of the monarchy. She wasn't there to give her opinion or her thoughts. What she was supposed to do, what a good ambassador does, is they share the thoughts and opinions of either their king or queen or their country. And that's what we then are called to do. We are called not entirely to be ourselves. We're called to be who God wants us to be, yes, but what we're called to bring is a message. We're called to be a representative of God's thought and opinion and what he is doing in the world And we see this, that when the Apostle Paul gives us verse 20 here, that Jesus brought us reconciliation with God, and so he's given us this as our mission and our message. He says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And here, Paul is both our example and our teacher. If you know the story of Paul in the beginning of the book of Acts, it's really an incredible story that models exactly what God has done. If you haven't, go back into the book of Acts, which is just a couple books before this, and you'll see this incredible work that Jesus does in his life, because the Apostle Paul wasn't always an apostle. He wasn't always a messenger of Jesus. And what he did actually was he went against the messengers of Jesus to try to stifle them, because he saw what was happening in the world and he saw these Jews becoming Christ followers. They're followers of Jesus. And he went, "This has to stop." And so he goes out and he spends his life on mission to kill these followers of Jesus. That is, until all of a sudden, completely against his will, he has an encounter with God in which God says, "I'm going to take who you are, and I'm going to take that nasty stuff that stands against me out of you, and I'm going to put something new into you. I'm going to put the message of my love and reconciliation into your life, and now you're going to go out and be my ambassador. You're going to go to all those people in all those countries who aren't Jewish, who don't know me, and I'm going to send you out to bring this message. You are now my representative in the world." And so we get this example of how Paul lives, and as we read through these books, we see that Paul really does begin to model this and share this message in every single detail of every single word that he puts down in his letters to the different churches. But he's also our teacher too. As much as he gives us this example and we can look at him and study him, he gave the church in Corinth these words, and we need to take them as the words that we are called as God's ambassador to go share with other people. He says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf." So this is what he's saying into the church in Corinth. This is the message that we can share to other people. Be reconciled to God. You know, God made him. That's Jesus, who had no sin to be sin for us. That's the message that we get to bring. We get to bring the message that, hey, we're all on one track. I was once on that track, but Jesus came to get us off of it. And there's an opportunity to step into that and to receive his love, receive his grace, receive his mercy at no expense to you. He's going to do this incredible thing in your life like he did in mine. He says, you get to share that with people. And I would hope that as followers of Jesus, if we have experienced a change in our life, we get excited about that and we desire to bring that to other people. We get to work with God to bring his message of love and grace. We have the opportunity to be people in a divisive world who step into situations and bring a message of hope and reconciliation. I think that's something to be excited about. I think that's something that gives my life meaning and purpose. That's a mission that's worthy of my time dedication, of my money dedication, of all my family experience. I get to bring all of that towards something that makes sense, something that's not temporary, something that goes way beyond me. I get to be an ambassador of Jesus in everything I do. But I want us to think about this. Some of us, we believe this. There's many of us who exemplify this, but I want you to think about your life and do I exemplify the crown that I serve? Do I live my life in a way that is reflective of an ambassador? If you know much about politics, you know that when an ambassador is taken from one country and sent to another, it's not just a 9-to-5 position. It's not just something that they get to go over to another country and they get to walk into the embassy and say, okay, I'm on the clock. Here I am to represent all my country's business for the next 8 hours, and then I get to walk away. No, an ambassador's role is all-consuming. It's every part of their life. When they are out, if there's an ambassador from Canada in China and they're walking around town and they go in somewhere to eat, where they eat, how they eat, they are a representative of Canada. Everything they do speaks to our country and to our government and to the people who live here. And the same thing when they go home and as the people that they live with and interact with, they're looking at them not just as individuals, but as representatives of their country. And in the same way then, we should view our role as ambassadors as being all-consuming, all-encompassing. It's not something we punch in and out of, but it's a lifestyle. It's a way of being. It's a way of living. And I think we really need to think about this because our culture tells us that this isn't the case. That we're not defined by our religious beliefs. That's just a part of who we are. For most of us, even as Christians, the thing that drives us, the thing that names us, the thing that gives us value and purpose for most of us is our job. Even as Christians, most of us will say, you know what, I'm a Christian, and then fill in the blank. I'm a Christian truck driver. I'm a Christian electrician. I'm a nurse who happens to be a Christian. I'm a Christian dentist. I'm a Christian banker. I'm a Christian parent. We say, I'm a Christian something. And what we really mean when we say that, if we even say that, is I'm a banker who also happens to be a Christian. I'm a parent who happens to be a Christian. I'm a truck driver, and when I find the time, I happen to be a Christian. I'm a dentist or whatever role, and you know, on Sunday mornings and at community group, that's where I'm a Christian. But what gives me my meaning, what gives me my purpose, what gives me my what makes me tick is my job. I think that's the wrong perspective. You would never see a political ambassador thinking that way. They would think, no. I have a job to do. I have people within the country I have to deal with. I have political matters that I have to go meet over. I have paperwork I have to fill out. Yes, I have a job, but first and foremost, I'm a Canadian who represents my country. And all our political views, all our thoughts, all our opinions, and all the things that I do. And so shouldn't we, in the way we live, really start to reframe our thinking? Instead of thinking, I'm this and I also happen to be a Christian, shouldn't it be, I am God's ambassador and the place I'm the ambassador to is my workplace. I'm Jesus' representative in the bank, in the dental office, on the road, at the school, at home, in the hospital, but always first and foremost, I'm Jesus' representative. If Jesus is the one who has the power to do all of this stuff within our life, if he really has made a transformation for us to take us from one track to another, then he's our king. He's the person we should be representing 24/7. So how do you view your life? How do you view your purpose in what you do every single day at work or at home? Do you sit and have conversations? Maybe on break or lunchtime or even sitting down with your kids doing a craft and think, you know what, right here, right now, I'm a representative of Jesus. Because I think that's what we're being called to do. We're being called to think about this in a new way. And I think this is exciting. Because I think so many of us, we have a longing for something more in almost every single thing we do. Whether it's at work or at play or at home, we often have this desire to say, well, I want to be contributing so much more here. There's got to be more than I can do to just punch into the clock and earn a paycheck. And I think what God's saying is, you know what, in every single one of those situations, I am giving you more. I'm giving you so much more to participate in. And this is a great thing because it means that wherever you work, you're where God wants you to be as an ambassador. You get to view this now in a new way where your whole job is encompassed around your life set upon Jesus. It means no matter what neighborhood you're in, even if you're in a neighborhood where sometimes you go, man, I wish I could get out of here, you get to be thinking about it in a new way where you say, you know what? But I'm actually placed by God here to reach these people. That means it's not just about the nice house that I get to have or the lack of that I wrestle with and the renovations I want to do. No, it means that you actually get to be the beacon of light on the hill within that community, within that neighborhood. And suddenly, it's about so much more than your house. Suddenly, your coming home from work has so much more meaning and purpose, and you're invited in to contribute to something that is far beyond yourself. I think that's exciting. As I think about this, it started to change how I've looked at all sorts of different situations. But I know some of us sitting here go, I know this, but it's hard. It's painful. You know, some of us, and I know stories of people within this church, and you go, yeah, but you know what? I've been the ambassador with the message of reconciliation for years, decades. There's that kid of mine who's walked away, and I just so long for them to know God, and I'm just tired. I just don't see anything. Or maybe it's that coworker or friend, and you're just like, I've tried, and it's just so hard because every time I invite them to church or try to share something with them, I just get shut down, and it's killing me. It's killing me. In those moments, when you're hearing those voices, it's true, it is heartbreaking. It is painful. It's tiring. It leads you to just have to cry out sometimes. But I want you to know that it's never in vain. It's never in vain. If that's you here this morning, I don't want you to leave discouraged going, well, but I've been participating in this and I've seen nothing in it, because there's a verse that you need to hear today, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Maybe write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You might not see the fruit that is happening, but God has given us a promise. And when we jump back to 2 Corinthians, he says, we are co-laborers, we are co-workers. And that for me is just such a reassuring thing. When I think about those friends who we've been spending years investing in and trying to bring Jesus to their situation, and they say, you know what, no, that's not for us, that's not for us. I have to come back and remember, it's not about just the message that I'm bringing, because God is at work in this situation too. God is working right alongside of me in this situation. And while I might not see what God is doing, God is not doing something in vain. He's the God who has the power to transform lives, and he is working. You might not see it, but he does not do things out of futility. He does things for victory. He does things on purpose. We're co-workers with God. That's an incredible thing to walk away with today. You get to work alongside God wherever you are. At work, at home, at play, it doesn't matter. And every time you take the opportunity to be his representative, he says, I'm going to work alongside of you, and I'm going to make sure that that had purpose. Because we know that God's working things together for his good, for his glory, for his honor, and in a way that only he can do it. You are a co-worker with Jesus. And that phrase is one of the things that I think we need to grab hold of as we want to grow deeper with him. We've all worked with people on things, and as you start to work on something with a coworker, with a family member, you start to get to know things about them. If it's just a surface level thing, you're working on something with somebody with, at least you get to learn their strengths and weaknesses. But if you've ever had the opportunity to work with somebody on something that has real meaning, sometimes that elicits great conversation. I know sometimes when I've worked with, I used to do a job where I had some sales to do, and we were growing this little mom and pop shop up, and we were trying to make it a business that was quite successful. And so as we shared about things, as we talked about things, as we would go out and do sales, and I'd talk with the office manager about things that we were wrestling with, it wasn't just the business that started to happen. We started to talk about our fears and our failures of whether it was that situation or outside of that. We started to talk about things that were just a part of our lives because we just spent time together. And so people sometimes, they say to me, well, I want to grow in my relationship with God. I say, then work with them. Work with them. It's not unlike any other relationship. When we work with someone, we get to know them. They get to know us. Sometimes we get to compensate off of one another. Sometimes we get to learn things. If you want to grow deeper, you got to work alongside with God. For me, this has been critical because as I've worked with God outside of the church in the mission field of where he's placed me, sometimes I just have to share with him my fears. I go, God, I'm really scared about this situation that you wanted me to step into, or I'm nervous about interacting around this subject with this person. But God's, in those moments, never failingly shows up and he helps take away those fears. There's moments where I go, man, this moment is just one of those insignificant moments that happens every single day. And so why am I just going on droning about? And in those moments, if I start to think about what God is doing and I try to lean into that and work alongside of it, it's amazing how often that suddenly I see God do something in a seemingly mundane part of life. And in those moments, I start to see more about who God is, about the people he cares for, about how he wants to work, how he wants to use me, how he wants to tear out some of that old stuff and continue to build new stuff into me. And in those moments, as I work alongside of God, I start to grow deeper with him because I'm his co-worker and he's invested. And he's going to accomplish what he set about doing because he's already accomplished it in my life and in the lives of so many of us here, and he's not going to stop because this is what he's all about. We just get to work alongside of him and be his representatives. So what's next? Where do you go from here? What are you going to do? You might grab these pieces. You might say, yeah, I understand that Jesus has done all this in my life. Yeah, I get that there's this message of reconciliation. Yeah, I get that I got to grow deeper. I want all of these things, but I don't know where to go next. Well, here's some possible next steps. The first next step is for those of you who have not yet received what Jesus is offering. You gotta grab hold of this. You gotta understand that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, that he made a way off the pointless, aimless, broken track that you're on to go into a new one of meaning and life and purpose and love, and he's done it all at no expense to you. And he just wants to grab you, he wants to take you, and he wants to bring you along with him. He says, hey, do you trust me? Because I've done this for you. I want to bring you alongside. And so maybe this morning, maybe this week, maybe right in this very minute, the thing that you need to do as a next step is say, hey, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Forgive me for where I've gone. Bring me to where you're going. And he promises that he'll do that for you. Maybe the next step for you is to reflect and seek places where God is calling you to set yourself aside in order to be a representative of him. When Jesus calls his disciples, he says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself in order to be more and more like me, to be my representative. And so some of us, we need to take account of the relationships we have, the way we think about our role in life, and we need to sit down and really go through that and ask ourselves, how do I perceive myself in this place? What is my end game in this thing that I'm accomplishing in life? And for some of us, as we start to do that, as we think about our jobs or our families or our friend relationships or whatever it is, we're going to ask ourselves and we're going to come to this place where we realize, no, in that place I'm living for me. In that place I'm just viewing it as mundane and empty. In that thing I'm just frustrated and so I've given up. And for you this morning, you need to find that place. You need to acknowledge it and you need to bring it before God and say, God, I need you to allow me to be your ambassador in this place. I need you to change my perspective for how I think about this relationship or this role or this aspect of how I use my time. And God, I need to redeem it to be of purpose and of value for what you have called me to do. For others, our next step is that we need to actually think about one or two relationships and we need to write them down. And we need to say, these are the people that I'm going to invest in. These are the people that I am going to bring this reconciliation with. Because I genuinely, like Jesus, I care about these people. That's got to be the starting ground. We have relationship, we care about this person, and then we go to them and we say, you know what, Jesus has done this in me. But for some of us, that's scary. And so I want to share with you a little acronym. And I've used this before many times. So if you've been around Emmanuel for a while, you'll recognize it. But the acronym is BLESS. For me, this is helpful. I actually write this down sometimes to remind myself of this mission and how to engage in it. And I write down, I am going to bless. And then I write down a couple names. And when I think about that blessing, what I do is I start as I begin to pray for that person. I'm going to say, you know what, this is the person, God, you've put me in their life. You've placed me here as your ambassador, as your representative, as their friend, or as their coworker, or as whatever it is. And God, I just need to pray for that person. I need to pray for opportunities. I need to pray to see how you're working. Would you reveal these things to me? And then I need to stop and listen. I need to listen to both what God is telling me and what that person's telling me. It's amazing how when we're in relationship with people, we actually never listen to them. Because what I have found as I try to reach out to people is that if I stop and listen for a while, almost everybody is willing to share their problems. Almost every single person I know is willing to talk about the things where it's like, yeah, life is going great, but. Yeah, things are awesome at work, but my relationship stinks. Man, my love life's amazing, but I just can't find a job. whatever it is. And when we start to lean in and listen to people, we can actually hear opportunities where we can bring the voice of reconciliation in and offer something that's bigger and better than what's missing in that space. The other thing that we can do is eat with people. Everybody's got to eat. So spend some of your time eating with people. It's really easy. And that provides time and space within your busy schedule, because we're all busy, but we're also all eating. So spend a few minutes, even if it's only 15 minutes on break, just talking to somebody, spending time with them. And serve them as you've heard them, as you've listened to them, as you've spent time with them. Pick up on practical ways that you can meet them. Pick up on things that might be impactful for that individual, and then put it into practice. And then, of course, the part that we should never forget is share the story. Share the message of reconciliation. Share what God has done in your life. Tell that story and help them bridge the gap. Help them see that Jesus is there while they're on this track, that he is there because I know it's true because this is my story. And it can be true for you too. Name some people who you need to be an ambassador to. The other thing that we can do is we can start to integrate our lives. Start to integrate our lives. So many of us, we separate our faith life and our normal life. And I'm talking about beyond just like having one or two people that you interact with, but actually start seeking opportunities that are just a part of your everyday life. For me, one of the things that I've done is I joined our Strata Council a couple years ago. I joined our Strata Council. I'll tell you, being on Strata is like one of the most painful things. Like, everybody comes and complains to you. You know everybody's business. You know every problem, and you have to sometimes go and help fix it. What I said is, I said, hey, I live in this townhouse complex of 36 units. They need somebody here who has some form of experience working with a board and doing finance stuff. And okay, I got some of those skills. And in the midst of it, this is a place I can step into, integrating my work and the stuff I do at the church and bringing some of that value, but also bringing this message of reconciliation. When my neighbors are fighting and I get to talk to them, I get to talk about Jesus. I'll tell you, it's scary sometimes. Sometimes it's weird. But it's awesome. One of the other things Amy and I have tried to do, we've got to do a lot of birthday parties. So let's integrate our church community and our school communities. When we throw a birthday party, we're going to bring people both from our church and from the school, and we're going to bring them all together. And sometimes we throw the parties here at the church. It's amazing. I had a woman who said, I have never liked a Christian in my life. She had no idea. We didn't say we just gave the address. We didn't tell her it was a church. We just said, hey, show up at 2950 Blue Jay Street. Come on, it's going to be a party. It's going to be cake. Show up. And she was like, oh, no. And she pulled in the parking lot. And she walked in tentatively. She was nervous. But it was incredible to see how suddenly when somebody who she has no idea with starts to talk about their life and why they come to this church, she starts to get a different perspective of Christians. Because they got to bring the message of reconciliation about why they're here, how they know me, to her. And these are just simple examples of things you can do. Yours are going to be different. You have different situations in your life. You have different opportunities. You have different experiences. You have different places where God has placed you. But look for ways that you can bring these things together. And then do it. Be an ambassador to the weird grade one kids of your elementary school and their families. Be an ambassador to that coworker who needs help moving. Be an ambassador when you're out on a sports field hanging out with other parents. Just be an ambassador wherever you are, because that's where God's placed you to be his representative. The fourth way is Perhaps you have a longing for something even beyond this, and that's a good thing. Some of us have this desire for a people group, for people who are hurting, whether they're far away or close to home, and we go, man, there's just something in the world that just doesn't sit right with me. Whether it's poverty or injustice somewhere, whether it's a people group who have such little access to knowing who Jesus is. I don't know who God is speaking to you about, but maybe there's something there. And what I would encourage you is to just, if that comes up, if there's ever something that just gets you angry about the brokenness and injustice in the world, that might be God saying to you, I want to use you as an ambassador in this. And consider what that could mean. Maybe that means that for some of us, we need to go afar and be on mission there because that's where God is calling us and is going to put us. For some of us, there's a cause that's happening somewhere in the world and you just need to invest in that. You can do it a number of different ways. And even for those of us who can't physically go, we can pray for those causes and for those people. One of the reasons we do things like our Thanksgiving offering is we can invest financially into people who are doing things places because our heart bleeds for what's going on there. And so we say, you know what? I am going to be an ambassador with my money, with my generosity to that place, to those people, through others. There's all sorts of aspects of how we can do this. So let's take a hold of them. Let's represent Jesus because we get to. Let's represent Jesus and not do it with a fear that we're going to fail because we're reminded by his word that he is here, that he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish, that he will do it through us because that's how he wants to work, and none of it's ever going to be in vain if our conviction and our passion and our desire is built around his reconciliation mission. So don't take this passage and write it down and make a note and do nothing about it. You're being invited on mission. So engage with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you so much for the stuff that you've placed within this book, in these verses. God, there's so much to chew on. There's so much to celebrate. There's so much to think about. God, I just pray that you would be with us in all of these things. Oh, God, just give us the next step. Just make it clear. Lord, if it's not clear, would you give us the courage to just take a next step anyways, stepping out in faith that you are with us, that you are present, that you are hanging on, that really we're hanging on to you. God, for everyone here who is struggling, God, where they are heartbroken, where they are frustrated or feeling drained because they've been pouring into others, Lord God, would you just show them some of how you are at work? Would that be something to excite them? Would that be something that would give them the energy to carry on? Because God, we know that you want us to do this with everything. And so we want to be all in with you. So help us as we do this. Help us grow deeper with you and to see your light shine, to see your reconciliation come with the people of Abbotsford, Mission, Chilliwack, Alder Grove, all the places that we are throughout the week and throughout our days. Because God, you deserve it. And we love you and we thank you for it. And we pray this all in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.